Gummidge with Mission Street. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the Impact Hub at 5th and Mission in drizzly San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 6th of February, 2014. On this date in 1778, the U.S. signs a very helpful deal with France. Thank you, Ben Franklin. 1815, New Jersey grants rights to the first American railroad. In 1819, Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles founds Singapore. The hotel is still there. Very nice. Go there if you can. 1820, the first 86 African-American immigrants sponsored by the American Colonization Society depart New York and start settlement in present-day Liberia. 1900, the International Arbitration Court at The Hague comes into existence. 1919, the five-day Seattle general strike begins. 1937, John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men is published. 1952, Elizabeth becomes Queen of the UK. 1959, Jack Kilby of Texas Instruments in Dallas, Texas, files the first patent for an integrated circuit. 2000, Russia captures Grozny, forcing the separatist Chechen government into exile. Today's International Day of Zero Tolerance to Female Genital Mutilation, and is also Sami National Day in Russia, Finland, Norway, and Sweden for the Sami, or Laps, as they're sometimes known. Birthdays today are Babe Ruth, Ronald Reagan, Eva Braun, Mary Leakey, the very cool anthropologist, Zsa Gabor, the very ridiculous Hungarian character actress, and Bob Marley, the saint. Also, Misha Ciurelli, film director and screenwriter, was born on this date in 1894. Misha Tumanishvili, theater director, was born in 1921. Besarion Gavashvili, better known as Besiki, the poet, politician and diplomat, was born on this date in 1750. Today, it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again to those posted to our forum. From Teo, we have a small correction. That is that the Works in Progress is hosted by CRRC, not ISET, but it takes place in ISET. But it's hosted by CRRC, so you know. The question last week, can you explain why Otsneba members of parliament are so unwilling to support members of the board of the Georgian public broadcaster, even those that were nominated by their Otsneba colleagues? What is behind this? End quote. An excellent question. From our resident expert, we get this. I believe because the people that were selected by the NGO commission that Usupashvili, by and large, selected fairly suitable and professional candidates that seem to have a reasonable, moderate view, and a lot of Otsneba MPs seem to want people who are conservative, closer to the church, and would ensure that the Georgian public broadcaster promotes, quote, real Georgian values, end quote. But I don't have a lot of evidence to back this up. So that's what we heard. If you'd like to comment on the blog, ask a question, get us to research anything for you, go to tpilpod.com or send us an email at tpilpod@gmail.com. To subscribe to the podcast, go to our website, tpilpod.com, scroll down the screen on the right-hand side below the column of tags. There's a little rectangular icon that says iTunes. Click it and you'll get a new Tpilpod episode. If you still have trouble, let us know by posting a comment on our website or emailing us. We want to be sure that everybody's well set up on iTunes, and we know about any iTunes problems, because one time it just flipped out and nobody got anything for a while, and we didn't really hear about it. So, on the 4th of February, a couple days ago, BI held a press conference about his new NGO Citizen, or Mokalike, as it is known in Georgian. Although the NGO does not have any specific projects yet, it will focus on increasing media professionalism and public scrutiny of government. With respect to media issues, Citizen will fund training for journalists and will also commission others to monitor media outlets. BI said he's willing to cooperate with other NGOs which have, quote, which have high standards and those activities contribute to the country's European integration. End quote. BI also said that because his NGO will not be able to cover all areas of interest simultaneously, he's considering funding the launch of several NGOs that will work closely with Mokalike. This would entail the charitable foundation of Kartu Bank giving a number of NGOs 50,000 lari to start of startup funds. BI said that former chief prosecutor Archil Kapilashvili already launched one such NGO which will work in the legal field. When asked about the government, BI said that he's very satisfied with the current government, which he described as European-type government. Later during the press conference, he said he did not like how Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili described last year's economic situation. Quote, I would criticize Kharibashvili for incorrectly saying that the economy declined under the new government. I disagree that we had an economic decline. We started a revitalization of the economy, end quote. While he did not specify which Kharibashvili's statements he was referring to specifically, Prime Minister spoke publicly about the economy at the Munich Security Conference and referenced a slowdown in economic growth. When asked to comment on BI's criticism, Kharibashvili responded, "We should accept criticism when we deserve it. I absolutely share this criticism. We had no economic decline. There was a slowdown." When asked about the economic situation of the country, BI responded that, quote, "If everything goes right, Georgia might become the new Dubai," end quote. God forbid. He said that there was a 90% chance that the Georgian economy would revive, and in 5 to 6 years, there will be double-digit growth. BI also positively spoke about Georgia's justice restoration process. He noted that it did not matter how many former government members will be arrested. The Georgian people will still lack the feeling of satisfaction because UNM are mentally abusing the population. He said society expected an apology from UNM, but instead the party talked about morality and insulted the Georgian population, which led to more aggression towards them. He advised Georgians not to take the words of the UNM seriously and to look at their comments with humor. When asked by a journalist about his opinion on Ilya II's Christmas epistle, BI said that Georgia must overcome social barriers and discuss church issues that are currently deemed taboo. Interesting. Good point. BI said that the church can also be criticized. Clerics make mistakes. He added, if we want the church to be better, we should talk about it. According to him, everyone can make a mistake. Ilya, too, can make a mistake. He may declare something, but we can refuse to accept it. That's normal. There is no need for dogmas. On the 1st of February, during his address to the Munich Security Conference, Prime Minister Kharibashvili spoke about the relations with Russia, the country's European aspirations, and development of Ukraine. Kharibashvili spoke at a panel discussion on Eastern Europe, which was dominated by debates on developments in Ukraine. Former boxer-turned-politician Vitali Klitschko stole the limelight during the panel discussion and was applauded heavily. Kharibashvili started by speaking about Ukraine, reiterating the Georgian government's position, which in general is about avoiding taking sides. He then continued by saying that 2013 was a difficult year for Georgia because of the period of political cohabitation. But he also added that it was a very successful year because of the peaceful transition of power. Kharibashvili reiterated Georgia's European course, noted the overwhelming public support for EU integration, and said that by initiating the association agreement, the European integration process became irreversible. On relations with Russia, he said that when the Georgian Dream came into power, we absolutely changed our approach vis-a-vis Russia. We changed our rhetoric. The Prime Minister said that as a result, Georgia improved what he called its technical relationship with Russia, specifically trade and people-to-people contact. Russia started to gradually open its markets for Georgian products. He noted that the Georgian government decided not to boycott the Winter Olympics in Sochi. The Georgian Prime Minister also said that Georgia and its Western partners have to convince Russia that Georgia's aspirations to become a member of the EU is not a threat to Russia. The Russian lawmaker Leonid Slutsky began his address by thanking Kharibashvili for a very constructive and accurate presentation of the relations between Georgia and Russia, and noted that despite many problems the countries face, they are opening a new constructive chapter in their relations. UNM members criticized Kharibashvili because he did not use the Munich Forum to highlight similarities between Russia's influencing the events in Ukraine and Russia's attitude towards Georgia. They also criticized Kharibashvili for not being more specific about the installation of barbed wire fences. Following up on the story about the Mukhrovani mutiny, when asked to comment on former Prime Minister Vano Metabashvili's two corpses statement at the Munich Security Conference, Misha said, quote, "Please do not involve me in politics at all. I've had enough politics in my life, so leave me alone on that, this issue at least. What is happening here is far more important than everything local from our country." End quote. Kharibashvili commented he believes it was an order to murder, quote, "motivated by personal interest," end quote, though he did not specify what. His direct quote was, "In my opinion, it is a disaster. We are all amazed. This will be more competently evaluated by law enforcement agencies, but I, as a citizen, think that this is a very tough issue. We, in fact, witnessed how the former Interior Minister and the former Prime Minister ordered to bring two corpses, liquidation of two people. This was an ordered murder motivated by personal interest. I call on the prosecutor's office to open the case very soon. This is my evaluation, and the investigation will find out the rest. Investigation will highlight involvement of other people in the process. On the 30th of January, the longer version of Vano's video about the Mukhrovani special operation was released, where Vano is saying, let's question those guys. Where are they? End quote. One soldier is answering, he has all of them. Vano interrupted, no man, I need this. I need two men, two corpses. As a reminder, Vano claimed that he ordered the soldiers to find two corpses of already dead Russians to show their involvement. Also, on the 30th of January, there was a protest rally outside UNM head office related to Mukhrovani. Some protesters splashed red paint on the banner of Vano outside their office. The next day, another rally in the same location demanded that they take down the red paint splattered on Vano's banner. The protesters held photos of Sandro Ghirvliani in the 26th of May rally and demanded those pictures to be put on the walls instead of the current banner. They also demanded Vano be punished. On the 3rd of February, the chairman of the Democratic Movement Party, Nino Bourgenadze, was questioned related to the 26th of May incident as part of Vano's trial. Bourgenadze accused Misha, Vano, and the former government officials of direct involvement in the 26th of May and planning the August war in advance. According to her, the launch of the 2008 war was actively discussed, and she was the only person against it. Supporters of Vano and Bourgenadze clashed in front of Tbilisi City Hall. Police arrested one person. A French court released Dato Kezadashvili from custody on bail, provided that he wear an electronic bracelet. The judge decided that Kezadashvili cannot leave France, must live at a particular address in Aix-en-Provence. The court ruling says he is allowed to leave the house from Monday to Friday from 10 to 6 and Saturdays and Sundays from 9 to 9. He will wear the electronic bracelet for 6 months while the court considers whether to extradite him to Georgia. Kezadashvili is required to hand his passport over to the French court, which will announce its decision on the extradition request on the 27th of February. As a reminder, Kezadashvili was detained in France at the request of the Georgian government. There are two criminal cases against him. He's accused of threatening businessman Joseph K. to give shares of Imedi. To give shares of Imedi for 10 million lati. He's also accused of accepting bribes to accept alcohol, to help alcohol smugglers avoid taxes. The commission decided that the larger part of the footage should be sent to the prosecutor's office for investigation. The rest of the material, which contains intimate material, mostly sexual scenes and unidentified people, was destroyed, except the copies. Sorry, I added that. 45 DVDs and two hard drives were destroyed. 590 DVDs were sent to the prosecutor's office. Following up on last week's story about the amendments to the Code on Imprisonment, which makes it legal, not illegal, but legal for the prison ministry to use restraining chairs and beds, rubber batons, tear gas, pepper spray, non-lethal weapons, acoustic means, light sound equipment for psychological impact, water cannons, and dogs. I stumbled on this during the podcast, as you may remember, and didn't really understand what was happening, so checked it out, and this is what we have found out from an insider. The penitentiary, and this is a direct quote, the penitentiary system has had nothing in its regulations regarding the use of force. So after the prison scandal, the prison staff was left without legal leverage to control the situation in prisons. All constraints articulated in the legislative changes are not new to Georgian legislation. Prison staff needs clear instructions how to deal with cases. For example, when prisoners commit self-harm or there is violence between prisoners or prisoners attack staff or medical personnel, in the past these measures were undertaken informally and in many cases excessively. To change this practice, these new legislative codes were written. Following the legislative changes, there will be detailed guidelines regarding the use of each. On the 31st of January, 5 months before the end of his mandate, the European Union Special Representative to the Caucasus, Philippe Lafort, and former French ambassador to Georgia, he stepped down. Lafort didn't explain why he resigned early. As a reminder, earlier this month, Lafort made a controversial statement surrounding the statutes of South Ossetia, and I quote, the status of South Ossetia is a virtually independent state has been determined by its people a long time ago. It is almost impossible to change this stance, and this is the reality with which it is necessary to learn to live and work, end quote. The new appointee is expected to be given a mandate starting in June. On the 4th of February, before leaving for Sochi, Georgian athletes held an oath ceremony in Tbilisi. Alpine skier Nino Tsiklaouri held one corner of the Olympic flag as she read out the athlete's oath in a ceremony at the office of the Georgian National Olympic Committee. She will be the flag bearer for the Georgian team. Four athletes are representing Georgia in Sochi: alpine skier Nino Tsiklaouri, Yason Abramashvili, and Alexei Beniadze, and figure skater Elena Gedavenashvili. There are 19 people in the Georgian delegation total. According to the Special Representative for Georgian-Russian Relations, Zuda Abashidze, Russian authorities released two Georgian citizens convicted of espionage in Russia. They were arrested after the 2008 war and were sentenced to 8 and 9 years imprisonment. Last week, it was reported that Skhinvali and the Italian city of Lanusei, Sardinia, signed an agreement on economic and cultural cooperation and reportedly became sister cities. The Italian and Georgian foreign ministry denies this. However, representative of the Republic of South Ossetia and Abkhazia in Italy, Mauro Murgia, publicized a press release on the signing of the cooperation between the mayors. According to him, for several months, the Georgian diplomatic representative in Italy has been arrogant and obstinately blocks all initiatives that would promote the peaceful coexistence of Georgians, Abkhazians, and South Ossetians. Murgia also writes that Georgia needs to understand that Italy is not any boondocks under their control, while Sardinia in particular has such a history and tradition of autonomy and independence that it will not tolerate any arrogance or intervention. I'm sure Sardinians are deeply concerned about this issue. The president's annual address to the parliament was postponed until either the 19th or 21st of February. According to the Constitution, the president must present an address to the parliament once a year during the parliament's spring session, which started on the 4th of February. It had been expected that Mark Velashvili would visit parliament this week. Member of Parliament Vakhtang Khmaladze stated that a biometric election list may not be ready for the upcoming election, which will be held in June due to lack of time and financing. According to legislation, the list of voters for the election of 2014 must be formed with biometric registration data. Khmaladze said that the current voters list will be cleaned up using biometric data. By this, he meant that double registration, dead people on the list, and other types of fraud and, you know, organizational issues will be purged. Khmaladze has been talking about biometric data related to elections and election lists for 15 years, at least. At least I've heard him in those 15 years. Personally, I think that they are a waste of time and attention. In the last local elections, the negotiations between the opposition about that, three-quarters of the time were spent talking about this idiotic biometric data, and as a consequence, we ended up with the 50% threshold getting lower and all sorts of other opportunities were not taken. On the 31st of January, Tbilisi City Assembly Chairman Irakli Shikhiashvili called for an extended session to reach a consensus on the city's budget. This meeting will take place on the 12th of February. As a reminder, in December 2013, Tbilisi City Council failed to approve the 2014 budget. On the 3rd of February, Batumi Mayor Cemal Ananidze resigned. According to Ananidze, he resigned to prove that he is not affiliated with any political party. In reality, he resigned because somebody told him to do it, but we don't know who. This is from Tpilpod's Fletcher School correspondent on Misha's talk last week in Boston. Here's a summary of the talk he gave at Fletcher. In his talk, Misha mentioned the need to interpret international politics from the perspective of a small state. When he spoke with George Bush, Bush recommended anchoring Georgia to the EU. Misha said that this was in the context of a Putin-led Russia, with Putin feeling that the former Soviet states are still within his orbit. Misha felt that the recent events in Ukraine demonstrated a new era in which politics is more heavily influenced by the populace, who are more often taking politics into their own hands, and politicians are fighting daily for survival. So he claimed that Ukraine has flipped things over, placing power in the hands of the governed. Later on, he spoke of the decreasing influence of Russia and points to oil prices as one of the causal factors and gas prices, just as it was during the decline of the USSR. Someone asked how Georgia ought to attract investment, to which he essentially said decreased regulation. He also talked about what he had done to remove thousands of bureaucrats from their positions. Following up on the Hudoni hydropower plant story, the energy minister said the government is taking into account the request of villagers in Chaishi Svaneti, which will be flooded as a result of the HPP along with several other settlements. They temporarily halted surveying work in the village. Minister Kahi Kaladze said that he is ready to go there and meet with locals and explain the positive aspects of the project. On the 3rd of February, Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani said the ministry received a letter from the Italian contractors who built the Justice House stating people are forbidden to enter the main hall of the building because it is dangerous. The company is not taking responsibility for people who go into the main hall as it now stands. As a reminder, bad weather significantly damaged the roof of the main hall in December 2013. What I wish is that they would just fix the idiotic staircase that they have that leads to the thing going over the San Pietro Highway. Which is the most idiotically designed thing ever, as anyone who has ever walked over it will tell you. On the 31st of January, there was a conference called SOS Georgian Highland at the Courtyard Marriott, which addressed the problems of abandoned villages in the mountainous regions of Georgia. Ilya II sent a letter to the conference with suggested solutions. He recommended that the government assist villagers to continue to live in their villages, even if they only stay for a portion of the year. He recommends sending orphans over the age of 18 who live on the streets in abandoned mountainous regions. I'm sure they'll be excited about that. Also, he suggested sending individuals who commit minor crimes to serve their punishment in these territories so that they can contribute to the area's development. Businessman Levan Vasadze took part in the conference via Skype and introduced his initiative to set up a special agency or ministry on mountain issues. He suggested the government introduce demographic assistance programs and full subsidies for utilities in mountain regions. Organizers said the latest data from 2002 revealed 164 villages in Georgia were deserted and 152 villages were barely inhabited with 10 families or fewer. Most of these villages are located in mountainous areas. On the 4th of February, the sports ministry published a letter to respond to public interest in the enormous salary of the Georgia national football team coach. Coach Temur Ketsbaya receives 220,000 lari a month. Wow. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze criticized this, saying that this is an inappropriate amount for such a poor country. According to the U.S. intelligence community's annual report, Worldwide Threat Assessment, the economic slowdown will be the area of greatest immediate concern in Georgia. A previous report, which was released in March 2013, pointed to an increased risk of domestic political instability amid a challenging political transition. Ministry of Internal Affairs reports the number of visitors in January increased 14% up from January. 320,000 visitors crossed the border last month. Most of them came from Turkey, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Russia, Ukraine, and Iran. According to the report, the number of tourists from Poland, Italy, and Latvia was substantially increased compared to last year. For the month of January, the number of tourists from Israel increased 15%. The number of tourists from Eastern Europe, namely from Belarus and Moldova, also increased by 48% and 23% respectively compared to last year. In parliamentary news, the Justice and Health Ministries put a draft before the parliament which addresses surrogate children and Georgian citizenship. As Spielpod covered in the 1st of November 2012 podcast, Georgia is a big destination for couples seeking surrogate mothers. Georgian women rent out their wombs in exchange for about $12,000. According to the draft legislation, surrogate children will be given Georgian citizenship if their parents' countries do not consider the child a citizen. The amendment will ensure that surrogate children have citizenship. Otherwise, it states that the children's citizenship depends on genetics. One of the reasons that this happens, and I don't know whether it's still going on, but at least a year or two or three ago, that there would be a surrogate mother that would give birth in Georgia. Both of the parents that had purchased the service would be put on the birth certificate rather than the name of the surrogate, whereas in almost all other countries, the woman who actually gives birth to the child will be put on the birth certificate. When a child's born in another country, it will automatically gain Georgian citizenship if one of the parents is a Georgian citizen. The bill also states the child will be granted citizenship if its parents have lived in Georgia for 5 years. According to the health minister, Dr. Sergenenko, his thought-provoking comment, the draft law will, and I quote, prevent the export of Georgian genes, end quote, which is just weird. UNM plans to present three new draft laws related to education. According to the First Initiative, military service will be an alternative way for impoverished students to fund their education. According to UNM, 28,000 students had their student status suspended because they cannot pay tuition. Second draft law is about mandaturi, officers who maintain control of public schools. According to the current legislation, the director of schools, in coordination with the Board of Trustees, appoints mandaturi. The government initiated a draft in which mandaturi are appointed by the head of a new body, Child Protection, Mediation, and Psychological Services. UNM's draft suggested that the school and the office of the mandaturi sign an agreement directly without third-party participation. For those who don't know, the mandaturi were set up by the national movement as Interior Ministry trained and organized individuals who'd be able to get information about and, if need be, order around school directors, who are often a little bit off the reservation vis-a-vis the education ministry. The third proposed change is about the recognition of extracurricular credits for students. This would enable students who are taking university courses or other certified programs to receive credit within their enrolled university. Ministry of Environment began working on a new bill to prohibit importing live genetically modified organisms in Georgia. The bill will make it illegal to bring seeds of genetically modified organisms into the country unless the seeds will be planted in an enclosed, quarantined area. The Parliament passed the draft law on local self-governance reform. Now the direct election of mayors will take place in 12 towns. Also, there will be direct elections for heads of all municipalities starting from this year's local election in June. Debates are now focusing on the threshold needed to elect officials. Georgian Dream proposes a 40% threshold among elected mayors. Currently, Tbilisi is the only city where the mayor is elected directly, and the threshold is 30%. Georgian Dream wants to set a 33% threshold for electing heads of municipalities, non-parliamentary opposition parties, as well as Georgian Young Lawyers, the hardest-working NGO in the caucuses, Transparency International Georgia, and ISFED insist on having a 50% threshold. This is very, very important. It should be a 50% threshold, and let's hope they do it. National Movement would also like a 50% threshold, but as reported last time, they're the ones who made it 30%, so they can't really say too much about it now. It was a terrible self-serving decision, and sad that Otsneb are doing the same things that UNM was doing. Meme this week, a Georgian developer under the name Cyborg McLeod announced his invention, the world's first 3D webcam, on Indiegogo.com, a fundraising platform. The device consists of two web cameras. The person wears a device over their eyes, and the webcam senses and repeats this movement and gives a 3D view of what they see. Check out the link posted on the forum. Trader Joe's, a fancy American grocery store, now sells Georgian cherry juice. Here's what the very front page of their February 2014 catalog says. Trader Joe's 100% cherry juice comes to us from the Caucasus Mountains Black Sea region of Georgia, the country that lies in the intersection of Eastern Europe and Western Asia, not the state that lies at the heart of the southeastern United States. This area is home to some of the world's finest cherries. They're generally referred to as sour or tart. We find the juice significantly sweeter than our red tart cherry juice. Unlike some cherry juices, this is a very easy juice to drink with or without mixers. One of the sippers in our tasting panel described it as tasting like good, not overly sweet cherry pie. We'll go with that. An article by Member of Parliament Teto Chaparidze, an all-around important person, former ambassador to the United States foreign minister, in Carnegie.ru about Georgian-Russian relations. According to the author, Georgia today, like Germany for several decades, strives for reunification. Georgian-Russian relations are poisoned by rhetoric that is filled with double meanings and little goodwill. Chaparidze writes that there has been some progress. Georgia and Russia have moved into visa facilitation and trade, but what Georgia and Russia don't share is a vision, and there's not enough wine or mineral water to replace diplomacy and vision. Vision are not verifiable blueprints. They are the driving force of civic and institutional identity. If Russia was able to overcome its defensive rhetoric and come up with its own version of a good neighborhood policy, Georgia would, of course, benefit. Perhaps more significantly, Russia itself would benefit. It's quite an interesting article. Good framing job and is worth reading. The article by Ivan Nechepurenko in the Moscow Times about Abkhazia and the Sochi Olympics. According to the author, the main Fished Olympic Stadium is a mere 4.5 kilometers from the Tsu River, which separates Russia from Abkhazia. Many Abkhazians hoped that the investment craze surrounding the most expensive Olympic Games in history would spill over the border. But what was meant to be a largely symbolic checkpoint between Abkhazia and Russia has turned out to be a more significant barrier. On the 7th of January, when the government declared the highest security regime in the greater Sochi area in the run-up to the Olympics, crossing the Russia-Abkhazia border became severely restricted. Trains to Moscow from Abkhazia will be canceled for the duration of the Games. Private cars will not be let into Sochi, leaving many Abkhaz fruit vendors who earn their living by selling tangerines, pechoya, and tea at Sochi markets in a precarious situation. Similarly, the Abkhaz delegation and athletes will not be able to attend the Games unless they hold Russian citizenship. Article by Sam Borden in the New York Times about Nodar Kumaratishvili, a Georgian luger who died at 21 in a luge crash on the eve of the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver. He was the first athlete to die in Olympic training or competition since 1964. The accident compelled organizers for this month's Olympics in Sochi to reevaluate the design of their luge track. The author visited Kumaratishvili's hometown, Bakuriani, and met with his family. Article in Democracy and Freedom Watch.net about Jehovah's Witnesses and Ozer Gethi Gudia, who were attacked several times. According to the article, there is a community of about 70 Jehovah's Witnesses that live there in a town of about 20,000 people. Georgi Arbolishvili, the representative of Jehovah's Witnesses, says that people are not very tolerant of them. After the 1st of January, they filed 6 new complaints about harassment. If you're interested in the dirt on Sochi and what's going on there, you should check out Paul Goebel's awesome blog, Window on Eurasia. He has a short news summaries, very, very interesting stuff, as befits his background. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. The week's geocapital number is 11, which is the percentage of female members of parliament in the Parliament of Georgia. In Armenia, the percentage of female MPs is 10, despite Armenia's introduction of a quota to ensure that women make up 20% of the parliament. Azerbaijan and Russia have 16%, 14%, and 14% of females, respectively. So Azerbaijan has a higher percentage than Russia. Interesting. This week's English language movie at the Rooster Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 8th of February at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 12th of February at 8 p.m., The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which I enjoyed. Go see it. On the 7th, 16th February, the EU, that means European Union Film Festival 2014, will be held in cities across Georgia in Tbilisi, Zugdidi, Batumi, Kutaisi, and Gori. You can find additional information about dates and movies at eufilm.ge. Entrance to all the movies is free. There's an excellent new place, The Red Hen, in Washington, D.C., that has several Georgian wines on their menu, including Pheasant's Tears, which everybody knows that one. Check out their webpage, theredhendc.com. And anybody who knows any restaurants outside of Georgia with Georgian wine or food, let us know. If you're in Portland and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Kadagi Gogo, the Georgian food cart. They sell Badrijani, Lobiani, Khingali, Khachapuri, and more. Tell your Portland, Oregon friends about it. For more info, go to KadagiGogo.com or look up at Kadagi Gogo PDX on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tpeelpod.com. We'll finish with the Robins' 1955 hit, Smokey Joe's Cafe. Why, Smokey Joe's Cafe? Why, Smokey Joe's Cafe? One day while I was eating Smokey Joe's Cafe. Just sitting digging on the scene. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. A chick came walking through the door that I had never seen before. At least I never saw her die. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. Ooh, and I started shaking when she sat right down next to me. Ooh, her knees were almost touching mine. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. A chill was running down my spine. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. Oh, I could smell a sweet perfume. She smiled at me, my heart went boom. Then everybody in the room. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. They said, man, be careful. That chick belongs to Smokey Joe. So from behind the counter, I saw a man.
shelf hat on his head and a knife in his hand. He grabbed me by my collar and began to shout,
"You better eat up all your beans and bar and clear right on out."
Yes, I know I'll never eat again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe,
and so we'll never meet again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
I'd rather eat my chili beans at Jim's or Jack's or John's or Jean's than take my chances eating out
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Ooh, I risk my life when the Smokey Joe's a crazy fool.
Smokey Joe's Cafe.